Welcome to Dear Timothy Podcast with Maxwell Ogaga, a practical wisdom-filled podcast for pastors and ministry leaders.
To 20 or 125, just in case we have a couple of announcements. Okay, I'll stop by 120 so that we can take our announcements. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we're looking at, you know, fulfilling your ministry. And we stopped at God's got a master plan for your life and ministry. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5, NIV version. Hebrews 8 verse 5, God's got a master plan for your life and ministry. And even if you're a church worker, it applies to you. Right? That the local church that you're in, there is a plan and you're part of that plan. Praise God. Now, when you look at, for instance, when Moses was building the tabernacle, one of the things that happened is the fact that God says, I've put wisdom in Oholiab. So Oholiab is to be a minister of help, but remember that he's to be a minister of help to help Moses build what God has shown Moses. He wasn't going to build his own thing. You know, and tomorrow, our second session, we'll have a short session for church workers, so you want to be part of that. I will do more with that. So he says, they serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. So your ministry is already in heaven. What we refer to as heaven there would be in the realm of the Spirit. Praise God. So every resource you will need is already established. There's no need your ministry would have now that the supply has not been factored. No need is taking God by surprise. Praise God. But everything that you need to do on earth has already been done in heaven. He says, pray, your will be done on earth. Where? As it is in heaven. Which, and you know what Jesus says? I do nothing except what I see my Father do. There are certain times I've had meetings and then I have visions of maybe I'm praying for someone or I'm doing something and God shows me that. And you know what happened? When I get into the meeting, I act it out and we have supernatural results. Because it's already accomplished. So, are you a teacher? Are you an apostle? Are you a prophet? Are you a pastor? It's there already. It's there already. So, you must endeavor to flow with the plan. You're not to make plans for ministry. The plan is there. You're to live the plan. That's why you see, in the life of Jesus, they would always say this, right? When John the Baptist was baptizing him, he said, do this to fulfill all righteousness. Which means baptism was part of the plan. His crucifixion was part of the plan. Right? Now, even the donkey he rode in the triumphant entry was part of the plan because that has been prophesied. That he will ride into Jerusalem with a colt which no man has sat on. So, Jesus was not devising new things in ministry. He was acting out what was already done. See, if we learn to live that way, we would experience ease. Praise God. Number two, there are 8 things. I'll talk on 4 today, so that I'll just keep to my notes. Keep yourself spiritually healthy. If you want to fulfill your ministry, keep yourself spiritually healthy. I always tell people this, that strive for a healthy church. Healthy churches grow. Are you with me? Come on, I said, are you with me? Strive for a healthy church. A healthy church will grow. You know, if we emphasize church health as opposed to church growth, you know what's going to happen? We will be more effective. Healthy church. Healthy church. How do you develop your health spiritually? You keep to the basics. Keep to the basics. I'm not a medical person, but you know, they will always say, medical people will say, drink water. You know, my parents used to fight me over drinking water. My wife also fights me over drinking water. Because for some reasons, once I finish eating, I'm done. You know, sometimes I leave and I come back and I see the water they gave me. But water is healthy. But it's basic. Water is not as expensive as Coke. Water is not as expensive as alcohol. But it's basic. Fruits. Basic. Do you know that when people are sick, do you know what happens to them? They return them to the basic. So as you go home, there's nobody who has been sick that they say when you go home now, take 3 burgers, you know, ensure that. Do you understand? What would they say? Take water. Take a lot of fruits. You know what they're just trying to say to the person? Health is tied to basics. That's important. Right? So what are the basics of the Christian faith? Prayer, word, fasting, giving. Yeah. If you want to fulfill your ministry, stay with the basics. There's nobody God has disqualified for seeing too many visions. Visions are good. Seeing of angels are good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's the basics that will make you know if the vision you saw is from God. You see, many people who see a lot of these spiritual things that start misbehaving, they don't have a devotional life. When you have a devotional life, you will know when God, Pastor, I thank God, Pastor said it. You know, Pastor was telling us when he was teaching us yesterday, say he heard a voice, say go to Zaria. And I packed and went to Zaria and finished his money there. When hunger came, he now asked God, God, are you the one? God said, who sent you to Zaria? Now, let me tell you something. It's because he didn't have money. If he had had money, he could have built a ministry in Zaria today that is not in the will of God. You know, so some of us are in the will of God due to poverty. That's why it's difficult for us to break through. Because God knows that if he releases money, the man will build Tower of Babel. God himself will now be looking for how to fight. Jonah was so prosperous, he paid his way out of God's will. If he didn't have transport fare, he would have gone to Nineveh. But he says he saw his ship going to Tarshish and paid his fare. The basics. So let's look at the basics. Let's look at the basics. To fulfill your ministry. Because realize that it is not just about the ministry, it's about you finishing strong. So, you see, let's even leave the ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's about you ending your life with your wife. Because we have to talk about pastors' marriages. I'm writing something now for pastors' marriages. Because sometimes we feel our marriages are immune. And sometimes it's not satanic attack. It's an assumption. And I'm saying this. You can't just assume that because you are a pastor, your wife will not divorce you. Until you come back from preaching one day and they have dropped a note for you, your key is under the mat. Me and the children were in Benue. Yeah, because pastors, we can bury our head in the sand and not pay attention to our marriage. So the question I ask every pastor is that, is your wife truly happy? I'm not saying is she supporting you. You can support a club like my club now. I'm not happy with them. I don't want to mention the name because I have enemies of progress and we have a match tonight, so I don't want to. I'm not happy with the club, but I'm supporting them. Do you understand? I'm not a happy supporter. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So I've stopped asking the question, is your wife supporting you? I'm not asking the question, is your wife happy? Because if your wife is happy, she will support you. But if she supports you, she might support you and not be happy. We'll talk about that in another Dear Timothy. Let's focus on finishing the ministry. So, it's not so much about the ministry as it's about you. Because it's first the man before the ministry. It's not the ministry before the man. I'm sure you've heard this illustration said a lot of time about a young chap. His father was studying. And the boy kept disturbing him, kept disturbing him, kept disturbing him. His father took a puzzle of a world map, scattered it and gave it to him. And said, put this back together. In like 10 minutes, the boy came back. And the father said, how did you get it together so quickly? He said, there's a picture of the man. There's a picture of a man at the back. That I figured if the man was right, the world will be right. If you are right, your ministry will be right. So you know what? Focus on yourself. Paul said, take heed to yourself. And then to the doctrine. Today we have people taking heed to doctrine and not themselves. That's why when they argue doctrine, you can see insult. Two ministers will be insulting themselves on Facebook. Over Bible. Do you understand? Two pastors who calling themselves all kinds of names. You can see anger, bad language, lack of... You just know that this guy has not taken it to himself, but he has taken it to doctrine. So somebody is teaching eternal salvation with temporary madness. You are teaching eternal salvation. You are not relatable. You are teaching eternal salvation. You are rude. You are uncaught. You look like someone who was not raised by parents. Let me tell you. If your character is off, I don't care the revelation you have. I won't listen to you. Because if that revelation is good, it will help your character. Theology reflects in transformation of behavior. We're not talking about head knowledge. There are professors in Oxford who are not born again that can argue Bible with you. The first proof of new birth is transformed nature. Are you hearing this? Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, when salvation went to his house, what is the first thing he said? If I've stolen from anybody, I will return. Transformation. Fruits of repentance. How is it today that we're quarreling in our pulpits? So, a pastor will do video. Then on Sunday, the pastor will go and reply the video. Then the next Sunday, the pastor will say, I saw the video! Two adults who can call each other. It tells you that we have zero emotional intelligence. Though we claim we are rich and we have need of nothing. Scripture says you are naked and wretched. Then we now give bloggers money and job because we say things that they can use because this one is very follow the story. So you are now, and let me tell you here, mind your business. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm concerned about what is going on in the body of Christ. Your church can be concerned about your church is the body of Christ you have control over. You don't have control over two adults who are misbehaving. And God will not ask you on the last day and say, the body of Christ, what did you do about the body of Christ? Do you understand what I'm saying? The body of Christ is the chip he has given to you. If you are effective in your assignment, you are helping the body. Somebody asked me one time, say, I saw this preacher's video, what's your opinion? I said, I don't have. He said, I want you to watch it and give me your opinion. I said, I don't have time. He said, it's not long. I said, I don't have time. It doesn't have to be long time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because there are messages for me to listen to. I have not listened to them. I will listen to two people quarreling. And you see, if you are not careful, you will buy the spirit. And your church becomes a gathering of critics. One guy said, Jesus did not die for material prosperity. He said it, he taught it, was all over Facebook on it. Titan is not New Testament. Me, I don't have a problem with anybody. Teach what you want to teach. I'll teach what I'm teaching in my church. Say, but they are confusing the believers. It's the believers that are listening to them that are confused. The one that are listening to me, they are straight. I won't try to correct somebody who is looking for what is not lost. You have a local church, your pastor is teaching you, what are you looking for? Then after many, two, three times, he reached out to me on Facebook. I said, man of God, they are rent are having issues. We need your support. I know you support young ministers. So I said, the money I have is from tithe. It's tithe money I have. You know that you don't use tithe money. So, I'm sorry. Somebody said, Pastor, did you help him? No. Why? It's tithe now. It's not New Testament. Why do you want to use Old Testament money to pay rent? In a New Testament church. After you have blasted online. Do you understand? You cannot collect tithe in the New Testament and still be honest. You now want to collect money from dishonest. You see, it's theology without practice. By the time poverty held some of them, they say it's not tithe, it's partnership. I said, no problem. So it's 10%. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because what happened is they were just parroting things. And listen, nothing will try you like money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people who are preaching new creation before, they are not preaching generational courses. Because they realize that this new creation message, it will be long. This thing will not happen on time. A young man was submitting to me in Benin. After about 1 month, he sent me 30,000. He was somewhere and I relocated him, you know, we supported him, relocated him to Benin to go and start church. After a while, he used to come for my meetings, sent me 30,000. I said, okay. The next month, he sent me 30,000 again, 40,000. The third month, I called him. I said, what's happening? What's going on? He said, God is blessing us. I said, yes, but it's too fast. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You just started. This kind of money, it's not like, I know ministry. On my investigation, I realized he has entered this prophetic stuff. So I told him, I said, don't send me any money again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because we must not be partakers of the wages of iniquity. They are sending people, when they send offerings, we call them. So we thank God for what you have given. But how far? What's going on? Spiritual health. Be healthy. Go back to the basics. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go back to the basics of pastoring. Visitation. Pastoral care. Don't start church and start drawing diagrams. Executive Pastor A. Executive Pastor A reports to Executive Pastor B, C. Executive Pastor B reports to Sector Leader. Sector Leader connects for 20 people. I went to preach in a church for a young man. His church was like 30. He had 10 pastors. Then the rest, I said, that's why all your meetings look like executive meetings. Are you hear what I'm saying? There's need to be structure. I'll talk about structure. But you see, go back to basics. Pastoring is teaching, feeding, and visiting. That's the basics. You teach, you feed, you visit. You teach, you feed, you visit. Never get too big for this. Go back to the basics. Let's look at the basics of prayer. I need to finish this. Go to the basics of prayer. Acts 6:4. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6:4. My brother, you just help me with the... Thank you. You can use the NASB version. That's what I have, if you have that. And we'll give attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Prayer. It didn't say, I will pray. It said, we will devote ourselves to prayer. It didn't say, I will pray. Devote ourselves to prayer. Let me stick with my notes so I can finish on time. Mark 1:34. In Mark 1:34, Jesus, put it up for us, Jesus had a massive, miraculous ministry. The whole city was gathered unto him. Now, the Bible says, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. But today, even if the demons don't want to speak, we make them to speak. Tell me your name. When did you enter? Who are you? He didn't say interview demons. They cast them out. Because the Bible says that he's the father of life from the beginning. No demon will tell you the truth. If he told you he entered this house in 1989, he's in 87. Don't interview demons. Cast them out. Permitted them not to speak. Verse 35. In the early morning, Jesus had just had a massive, the whole city was gathered, had this massive miraculous ministry. Come and tell me, what do you think you would do if the whole city of Enugu was gathered this morning and we did some healing meetings? You will sleep, say, man, I need to rest. But look at Jesus. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went away to a secluded place, and was praying. In spite of the previous day's schedule, Jesus had a devotional life. If Jesus, the Son of God, could get up in the morning to pray, why are you still sleeping? How will you survive without prayer? And I'm not talking about prayer for your church to grow. Devotional prayer. Spending time with God. Let's go back to the days of quiet time. That's why I don't have a lot of morning prayers in my church. Well, pastors have a different view. I do have a different view. I think that we are over pampering a generation. Yes, sir. I have once a month. Say, if I don't pray, if you don't pray now, your people will join other people's prayer. What's my business? What's my business? I have to teach them enough to know that they have to do their own praying. You see, let me tell you so true. What we are trying to prevent by activities is prevented by teaching. Why are you not joining all kinds of prayer in town? Because of what you know. What will stop your people from joining all kinds of prayer in town? It's what they know. People are doing morning prayer. Now churches have picked morning prayer. People are doing midnight prayer. One guy came to our church and left. I said, I left the church because we're not praying. We're not praying enough. This is the hour of prayer. So I called him. I said, I heard you said you're going to pray. He said, yes, sir. So I told him to come to church to me. So he came. So I took him around our church facility. Some of you have been to our place. 8 plots of land. We've got things built. At that time, we haven't even built the teenage auditorium. We built a couple of things. I took him around. I said, follow me. I want you. It's his church, but I took him around. So I said, I came into this town with 4,000 naira in my pockets, 2 trousers and 3 shirts. And in 12 years, God has done this. And you say, we are not praying enough. You think what God did here, I asked him, if prayerlessness can produce this. Because your concept of we are not praying enough is that I'm not losing my voice. That's your concept. I'm not saying, that one, I'm praying. So, you know, your definition of prayer is either in posture, in tone. Do you understand? A lady in our church, the doctor scheduled her for surgery, told the husband, go look for 400,000. Your baby is breached. See, yes, we need to do it now. It was on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday morning. Called the husband. The husband said, I don't have that money, but we'll look for it. They came to Bible study. They came to Bible study meeting. Pastor Mary, my wife. Because I'm a different kind of pastor. You might not need to follow me. If a member has problem, I has not said I should pray for them. I don't go and now be offering prayers. You see, let me tell you something about spiritual things. Spiritual things come from a place of honor. I'll tell you 2 stories. I'm telling you, some of you just look for work. So, pastor just said, pastor, I want you to pray for them. I've spoken to them. So I said, okay. I was leaving the office. So I just laid hands on the woman. I said, in Jesus' name, Father, your perfect will be done. We speak to this baby. 2-3 minutes of prayer. 2-3 minutes of prayer. 2-3 minutes of prayer. They went home on Wednesday. On Thursday morning, they just said, okay, they'll try and go to the hospital. Let them just do exercise because they encouraged them to walk. She walked a bit and said, she came back to the house. Water broke. She gave birth in the house. They had to look for a midwife. That's something they were supposed to go for surgery for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I did not say, oh, thou baby, who said, even if I pray like that, I will laugh at myself. That's my kind of nature. Do you understand? Even if I start praying like that, people will say, Mark, what's wrong with you? My friend, behave. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying people who pray that other way are not praying. I'm just saying that it's okay not to do things the way people are doing it and you are fine. Yes, So now we start morning prayers for our people. We start everything for them. They don't have a devotional life. And you know the funny thing? The pastor is so busy running these programs that his own devotional life has gone off. There are pastors who have not opened the Bible for devotion. Always for messages. In the early morning, so have a devotional prayer life. It's very important. Have a prayer life. Okay? We know our prayer, so let me leave that. Then, fasting. The power of the fasted life. Stay off meals. Don't just do fasting for the sake of fasting. I did 40 days. I did 60 days. It's not for boasting. Have a fasted life. Stay off meals certain times. Stay off social media certain times. Stay off certain pleasures and give yourself to the things of the Spirit. Oh, I'm just going to take 3 days off social media and just spend some time in prayer before the Lord. Fasted life. Go back to it. Don't also now develop a theology that is not about fasting, it's about knowledge, my friend. Gluttony is setting on. Fast. You realize that if you have not fasted for a while, when you try to fast, that's when you know that fasting is... One time I told myself, I said, I'm going 14 days. By the sixth day, I just told myself, I said, listen, there's nothing Jesus have not done for me. I know who I am in Christ. It is finished. I believe I receive. Do you understand? I'm telling you, when your members are 50, but you are preaching, you think that the church has grown to 100. You're like, what is happening here? This just grew so fast. Hunger, my friend, go and eat. Fasting is not punishment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you stretch. Don't be lazy that you don't fast. But again, don't fast that your source of boasting is in your fast. It's basic. Train yourself. You don't have to fast for a program. You have to fast. Just pray schedule. You know, I grew up knowing that my parents used to fast the first 3 days of every month. You know, or every Wednesday I will fast. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just fasted life. Fasted life. Stay off certain pleasures. Stay off certain social media stuff. You know, sometimes social media makes it look like you are not doing a good work. I went to preach in a church one time. And a few people, when I saw the pictures on Facebook, Jesus, those camera guys are good. The angles with which they took the picture, you would think that the place was packed. So I told my wife that what I'm seeing and what is happening here? I mean, they can take pictures. There was a church, when you travel and preach, you know something. There's a church I went to. When they want to take pictures like this, they'll tell all the ushers, everybody, come and sit down at the back and fill up all the spaces. It's not when they put it up, say, man, this church is growing, my own is not growing. So sometimes you need to fast off social media. So that the spirit of envy and jealousy and competition does not go in your heart. You focus on your work. Your church can be 30 and you're doing powerful thing. There's a church that's about 30 in one of these nations. They are affecting the prisons of that nation. They're about 30. Affecting the prisons of the nation. See, one among you shall be like 1,000. Listen, I'm for crowd, though. Don't think I'm here. If we're not saying where 2 or 3 are gathered. But see, we must be careful. So that we're not just fasting for church growth. We're not just, no, we're fasting for yourself. The next devotional habit is study. Study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Accurately handling the word of truth or rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Accurately dividing the word of truth. Rightly handling the word of truth. Study, 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 man of God, like books. And let me tell you this, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3, Paul says, till I come, give attention to reading, till I come. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation and to doctrine, till I come. Give attention to reading. Give attention to reading. Give it attention. Give attention to reading. Do you have a reading timetable? Do you have a reading schedule? Are there times you read? You must have when you read. Since this year started, I've read through the nights, close to like four times, just reading through the nights. Start reading by 9:30 when the kids are about to go to bed. You know, my son is praying for jam and he was saying something, so I told him, I said, when you went to bed last night, did you see me reading? Say yes. When you got up this morning, did you see me still reading? Say yes. I said, so there's no space for laziness in life. Reading. There are books you must complete. Ignorance is not something to be happy about. Go read. Have a reading schedule. Put off your phone and read. 1 hour every night will give you 30 hours of reading a month. What 30 hours times 12, what would that do to your mind? You're a pastor, you want to teach doctors, you want to engage educated people, and your mind is not expanded. They bring suggestion. Your capacity and bandwidth is so low, it reduces it. People are asking for accountability. You feel that they are threatening your pastoral authority. See, I'm the man of God in this place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you pastor a doctor? Can you pastor an engineer? Can you pastor educated people? Do you have the emotional intelligence to handle people of different views or different personalities? You don't learn these things by osmosis. You learn it by diligent study. I realized I was having a problem with delegation. I have to go read more about delegation. You know why I was having a problem with delegation? I have got an apostolic spirit of pioneering. You see, when you have a pioneering spirit, you find it hard to give people things to do because you are a one-man squad. So, but you have to learn it. If not, your ministry will be stunted. Are you with me? Let's give attention to reading. We've come with some materials, and of course, I try as much as I can to price my materials very low. You see, it's not out of place to take money from church purse and buy those books for yourself. Because it's the pastor that makes the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, are you with me? You read and not buy the books. You say, Hanley Church has it, I have it. Pastoria, I have it. It's not, you are not a collector of books. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're not setting up a museum. You read. On this trip, I came with three books. One of them is multiplying your ministry by giving it away. You know why I'm reading that kind of book? I'm in a place right now where I have a couple of churches under me. Eh? And you know my natural tendency. I want to preach in all the churches. Do you understand what I'm saying? My natural tendency, I want to do everything. But you see, I've gone to the place now when I must learn to give the ministry away to become a better leader. So I have to look for materials in that line. In my bag, I bought a colored pencil from one of these supermarkets. Underline, taking notes. In my study, I have a book where I write action points. Every book I read, what am I taking? What is the action point? Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're not just reading for the sake of reading. We're reading to become healthy so we can finish the ministry. Ignorance will make you not finish your ministry. Do you know the pastors who don't know how to relate to other pastors? Every time they see people, they make them sons. So, you are my son in the Lord, my son in the Lord. And you see, do you understand what I'm saying? Because they don't know how to relate. They don't know how to talk. There are pastors who don't know how to communicate. You are talking and slapping people. That's why serious people are leaving your church every time. Say, so, as we're saying, any pastor is talking, give him chance. So. There's one pastor one time, every time he wants to talk, he's almost entering your face. I have to call him. I said, listen, when you want to talk to somebody, when you have decided you want to talk to the person, take two steps back. They won't teach you in Bible school. The Holy Spirit will not reveal to you what he has told other people to write in books. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some of you need to study how to dress. I'm not very good with dressing. Sometimes what I want to wear, I say to my friend, can this color match? Yeah, I'm telling you, you don't have to be proud of what you don't know before you cause confusion. Say Bishop Odebo is wearing white. They're not wearing white. See, there's a technology behind the white he's wearing. Go and ask people who do, it's not spiritual. Go and ask people who do cameras and the rest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Learn, study, be studious. Let your brain work. Don't be a dull pastor. Let your brain work. Your message must have a starting point, a middle, and an ending point. Don't just confuse people. Know when to stop. Know when to summarize. Study. First point of study is the Bible. The Bible God has called you to preach. Know it. Know Old and New Testament. Because there's a generation that have grown up in Pauline epistles that don't know anything about the Old Testament. The Bible says that a wise man will bring up treasures from the old and the new. Study. John Wesley told his ministers, read or get out of the ministry. Read or get out of the ministry. John Wesley read science, read literature, was reading books, riding horsebacks, wrote those hymns on horsebacks, wrote those books on horseback. With the level of our comfort, we are the most generation that do not read. And let me tell you, you know, I started dealing with it in my own life and I want to deal with it. Internet has made us to have low attention span when reading. People pick a book today. After 2 pages, they want to do something else. It's not normal. You know why? Because the internet has given us scrolling. Scrolling. So the attention span, that's why, once in a while, buy hard copy books. Read. Finish it. Devotional life. Of reading. Study. Look at this. Francis Bacon said, some books are to be tested. Others are to be swallowed. And some are to be chewed and digested. So every book you buy, you should look at how much time should I give to this book? Some book you glance through it. Some book you taste them. Some book you swallow them and you digest them. For instance, I do think every minister should read Plans, Pursuit and Purpose by Brother Hagin every year. Just to keep you on track. Read that. There are certain books you should have close to you that you go through every year. Every year I make my son read The Richest Man in Babylon. Just keeps your financial sense there again. There are some faith books. Some books that impacted you. I recommend my book, Pastoring Through Prayers. Something you should read every year. Why? Because it helps you to understand the place of prayer. Read. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13, Paul was in prison and the one thing he said, bring the books. Bring the books. Give me books. 2 Timothy 4:13. In prison he was looking for books. A minister should have a current library, should have a solid library, should have an intentional library. Don't just buy books that you like, buy books you need. Alright? Buy books you need. Buy the books you need, not just books you like. Buy church history books. You know, when I see some things today, I laugh. Because if you're a student of church history, you will see repetition of so many things that took place thousands of years ago, repeating themselves again. If you read church history, you know, don't go this path. Even some of the doctrines people are fighting over today, if you're a student of church history, you know, 30 years ago, they fought over the same doctrines. So, if you had read church history, you just know that this is a fight that goes, is a cyclical battle. Every generation has some distracted people who bring up these fights. Read. Read leadership books. Now talk about that. Read leadership books. As our ministry began to grow, I began to study corporate governance. Because how you will manage the finances of this ministry when it's less than 50 is not how you manage it when you have 10,000 members. You must upgrade your finances. You must upgrade your understanding of finances. Praise God. Are you with me? What financial instruments are safe for church to put money on? Before you carry church money and go and do MMM in the name of helping church. What are the legal things you can do financially? You understand some of these things. So read. The leader who intends to grow spiritually and intellectually will be constantly reading. These are your devotional lives to make you healthy. Let me quickly in 5 minutes talk about prayer. Number three, how to fulfill your ministry. Prayer. Prayer is not an option. You know, we talked about prayer as part of devotional, but I'm taking prayer as its own topic. Prayer is not optional, please. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. My brother, please put up Colossians 1:9 for me. Colossians 1:9. It says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Please, every pastor, write this verse down. Very important. I'm going to talk about praying for your members. Keep this verse down. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for our members. But you see, this prayer, that they will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, is the best prayer you can pray for your church members. Because the heartbreak of pastoring is that you will see a member walking out of the will of God with boldness. And you know that, hey, this person shouldn't take this step. This person shouldn't leave this city. So you have to pray that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. In what? Spiritual wisdom and understanding. 1 Samuel 12:23. Look at what Samuel told the whole of Israel. 1 Samuel 12:23. It says, furthermore, as for me, far be it from me that I would sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. Oh my God. But I will instruct you in the good and right way. Did you see what Samuel said before the whole of Israel? He said, it's a sin for me not to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. What is instruction there? Teaching. It means that teaching and prayer must go hand in hand. Praise God. The Bible talks about Epaphroditus who prayed. Epaphras who prayed fervently for the church, laboring that they stand in the will of God. When you read chapter 1, of that passage, you realize that the Bible talks about the good news that Epaphras brought to them. Which means that after Epaphras taught them, he prayed for them. So, praying for your people and teaching your people must go hand in hand. The truth of the matter is that most times we teach our people more than we pray for them. So, there's pre-teaching prayer and there's post-teaching prayer. You pray, you teach, you pray. And I'm learning that now. So you must have post-teaching prayer on Sunday. Lord, as they are going home, in the name of Jesus, you know, you pray. You pray for them. Because sometimes when you look at members, you just ask, what is the problem? What is your problem now? Eh? You use 6 Sundays to teach sexual purity. The 7th Sunday, somebody impregnated someone in the midst of the series. It's not that he has done it. Just say, when did this happen? Say, last week. And we just finished past 17. Finish a financial series. Praying for a young man. He finally got a job. Then later, just ask him, did you give your tithe? No. One of them, I warned him. I said, if anything happens to you, we're not going to help you. Because we will not use other people's tithes to do welfare for you. Then when you are working, you will not bring tithe to do welfare for other people. He now lost his job. I'm not saying because he didn't pay tithe, that's why he lost his job. But he lost his job. They now wrote letter to welfare. And I called him. Say, remember, I keep my words. I told you we will not help you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go and report me to God. Because after instructing you and believing for you and God prospers you, I'm not saying give me money. I'm just saying be faithful so that when other people like you, the church can also help them. How do you reap from a place you don't want to sow into? I don't understand it. Glory to God. And for some members, we have to be practical with them. We have to tell them the truth. Today, pastors don't want to tell members the truth because they're afraid people will leave the church. But if people cannot hear the truth in church, where will they hear the truth? There are many people in their life, nobody has ever told them the truth. Their parents are afraid of them. Their friends are afraid of them. Even their pastors are afraid of them. My friend said, that guy, if you tell him the truth now, he will now block you. The mother said, if you tell him the truth now, he will be angry. So everybody runs away from telling the truth. Praise God. You have to tell them the truth. Let's look at this in prayer. Just write this down and then we'll close. In Luke 22:32, Jesus says, but I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Jesus prayed for Peter. Please, I recommend that my book, Pastoring Through Prayers. So it was from this scripture, God gave me that book. And one of the things I wrote in that book was that when the high priest Aaron was going to meet the Lord, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were on his chest. The minister must carry the names of his members to God every day. A church father said, I have 400 members and I have to labor for their souls daily. So I spend the first 3 hours in prayers. Please get that book, it will help you. So write this down and then we'll close. Pray for yourself. Number one, you pray for yourself. You pray for yourself. Just give me extra 5 minutes, please. Pray for yourself. Take time to pray for yourself. There's a scripture that Pastor read today, I think in the book of Psalms. I highlighted it. Strong prayer. That God will lead our feet, that He will lead us firmly. You know, I highlighted it. I was going to go back home and read it and pray. Pray for yourself. I will not fall. I will finish strong. Pray for you. See, pray for yourself. See, pray that you do not fall into temptation. Lord, I will not be tempted in the ministry. Pray for yourself. Number two, pray for your members. Pray for your members. Every time, every of the Pauline prayers that we pray today, you see that Paul was praying for the members. Since I heard of it, I pray for you. I pray for you. Do you realize? In Thessalonians, he prayed for them. In Colossians, he prayed for them. In Philippians, he prayed for them. In Ephesians, he prayed for them. He prayed for them all the time. Paul says, I bow my knees every time I'm praying for you. I bow my knees. I pray for you. That is people that Paul had oversight directly to. Paul, oh. Paul, direct oversight. He still had to pray. Even with that prayer, men did him much harm. He had to warn Timothy of certain people. He said, please watch that guy. He's a bad guy. And Paul, I like Paul. Paul said, okay, this guy. And released certain things on the man. But they say, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. With prayers. Whether you like it or not, there are people that don't want to see your growth. There are people that will say, ah, we told him he should not be a pastor. Where is he today? Pray. Pray. This one, I don't know whether you are Christocentric, Orthodox, Charismatic. Pray for money. Money. Put it there. Put it there. Specially pray for money. I'm telling you. Let me switch in English to preach this one. Pray for money. The Lord told Brother Hagin, he says, the money you need in ministry, I'm not the one keeping it away from you. He says, the devil. God told him, he said, speak. Take authority over the devil. Claim what you need. And say, ministry spirits, go get the money to come. Every year, I write out how much I'm believing God in the ministry, first of the year, and I call it every day. I call it in. Last year, we exceeded what we needed in the ministry by September. And I'm telling you, millions. We call it in. Solid figures. Shandala kapaya dadebosi anata. Father, we call this money in. Satan, take your hands. So when I'm praying for money, that's the only time I change my intonation. Take your hands off our money. Angels, go forth. Change tongues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't pray soft tongues, oh. Makatale gando sile koparadaya de kosiana. Why? Because for money to lift people, my brother. Are you serious? Oh? You have to, I'm telling you, don't laugh. Oh. This is a serious part of this message. Pray, money, pray. Oh.
pray.
There will be wealthy people in church like this. They will be in a planning meeting. And they will not give. But go to town's meeting. They have paid their dues up to 2037. In case they die, let the payment still continue. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Why? Because the enemy wants to keep money away from you and from the work. So you pray. Just as Satan makes people not to give, angels can cause them to yield. One of our meetings, someone walked into the church. The guy came to me and said, "Pastor, what happened to me today? I never had experience." I said, "What happened?" He was saving money for some project. He walked into the church. He says, as he entered the church, he just heard the Lord say, "Empty the account. It's meant for the church." You hear? Without manipulation. So sometimes I stretch my faith and I said, I'm believing that one day someone will give us 10 million naira one-time offering. I kept saying it. We had it last year. One time. So I went up. I said, I'm believing that one day someone is going to give us 15 million. One time. Not we are going to have 15. No, one time. Because if he can do 10, he can have some extra 5. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Stretch. Have you ever received a million naira as a one-time seed? No. Then say it. See, what about if it doesn't happen? What if it happens? Brother Hagin says somebody's going to give us $1,000. On a midweek service, a woman came and gave a check, $500. Way back then. Way back. What are you using your faith for? Lock some money in for your ministry. Glory to God. So I have what I believe for Word Connect, our traveling ministry. Have a budget for it. Because my traveling ministry is not connected to the church. Have what we need for the church. So I don't look at the offering plate where they give. I don't ask the accountant what they gave this month. I know what's going to come in. And this year, I've stretched it. I know how much I'm believing for this year. So I'm not looking at, how much they give today? 20,000. Hey! Tinubu. No. My faith will cost the money to come in. It doesn't have to be from my church members. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So pray for money. Somebody said Jesus did not pray for money. Oga, pray for money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And take the authority of Satan over where the finances is concerned. Then pray for the city. Ezekiel 22 verse 30. I searched for a man among them to repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I will not destroy it, but I found no one. Listen to me, pray for the city. Every pastor here, pray for Enugu. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is not a political issue. This is not who won election, who did not win. Pray for the city you are proper. You see, many people hate the city God has sent them to walk. You know what God told them? Jerusalem of Israel. He said, when you go on exile, you are going to stay there for 70 years. He said, but for that 70 years, seek the good of that city. Build houses. No place is a temporary place for your destiny. No place. Even if you are here for just 1 year, pray for Enugu. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Take out this, and I'm going to give you something very simple that you will use. Then, pray for those in authority. Pray for your governor. Okay? Pray for your governor. Whether it's from your party or not, pray for your governor. You know why we close by 8? Because of transport. Do you know that if the governor today says, 6 o'clock there's curfew, you know this program, even though God led us, it has cancelled. It says, pray for those in authority so that you will live a good and peaceful life, which means that your prayer for authority affects your life. So you pray for the economy of Enugu. And let me tell you how to do this simply. Very simple. We'll close. Please give me 5 minutes. Monday, I'm praying for myself. Tuesday, I'm praying for my members. Wednesday, I'm praying for the city. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Thursday, I'm praying for finances. Systematic. Don't assume you are praying these things. Schedule a timetable to pray them. Friday, I'm praying for the governor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Make it systematic. No assumption. So you don't leave any place uncovered. You know why? As this city prosper, your members will prosper. As crime rate goes down, you will not hear that a sister was leaving church and they stole her phone. Are you hearing what? Because, you see, all those things that happen affect us. If they say POS operators should not operate again, maybe there are 2-3 people in church who is POS they are using to feed their family. They've automatically become, you know, do you get what I'm trying to say? Maybe a young man who's just starting, armed robbers went, broke his store, took all his goods. We have to help him. So these things, as you go back, action points, what are you going to do? Monday, what will I pray for? So you know that 1 hour every Monday, I pray for myself. 1 hour every Monday, I call for finances, get scriptures, speak in tongues, pray. I pray, oh, my brother, Saturday night, I pray as I'm praying for people, I pray that God will cause their heart to be yielded to give. Because people can just hear good word and say, ma, more grace, more grace. I say, Lord, my people will not say more grace. They will give. Yeah. I'm telling you, don't joke with this thing, though. If not, you will see people who are so blessed. They'll just be, even me, I pray for myself. Oh, that people will not just be blessed by my ministry, but that they will give to my ministry. God gave me that revelation from Acts 16:14. It says, God opened the heart of Lydia to the words that Paul was saying. The next verse, God, you know, I didn't see it until God opened my eyes to it. The next verse says, and Lydia said, come. And Lydia was hospitable to them. Ah! And I heard in my spirit that you can have verse 14 and not verse 15. People are really blessed by your ministry, but everything they say is more grace. You know, more grace will not pay transport. I'm telling you, pray. I'm sharing my secret with you now. Pray, oh, that Lord, as people are impacted by my ministry, their hearts are stirred to minister back to me. If not, you can be an anointed teacher and nobody ministers to you. I went to preach in a city and the pastor came to me, said, what's going on? I said, what's happening? Say, what's happening? A pastor came from Agbo. I went to preach somewhere in Edo State. A pastor came from Agbo. I don't have any relation with him. He said God told him that he should bring 100,000 for me. That he should bring it cash. You know, he could have asked for my account and transfer it. That's how most angels are active. He didn't want network issue. The guy cashed the money. You know, in that particular meeting, I didn't teach above. If you listen to me, you know I don't teach on prosperity. I didn't teach. The pastor, people are coming to the office. This is for past. He said, I've hosted guest ministers in this place who walked in miraculous, who did prophetic. He said, but people did not come with offerings like this. Early this year, quick testimony. Early this year, a lady in the US called me. Say, your messages have blessed me. Send me 500,000. I said, maybe January 2nd. And maybe the message that blessed that person is not serious like the one you preach to. If they put the two messages together. But you see, the difference is the stirring of hearts. If you read Exodus 35, you know what the Lord said? He said, ask the people for the offering for the Lord. He says, and as many as the Lord stirred their heart. Look at this. It means that even when they announced that we are building a tabernacle for the Lord, some people just went, tabernacle. Do you understand? Listen, oh, gold they got for free. I'm just showing you something. I'll close now. Gold they got for free. How did they get the gold? Ask your neighbor for gold. And God asks for an offering. It's listen. Listen to what I'm saying. What would they use money for in the wilderness? Not today that people have our strength. People need to pay school fees. Oh, somebody had gold in the wilderness. Pastor Emmanuel. They were not buying food. God was giving them food. Huh? They were not buying clothes. Their clothes was growing with them. They were not buying drugs. Their body was healthy. God called for an offering. It wasn't like they were sowing to Aaron and not sowing to Moses. It was only one church. It was only one time God called an offering. It wasn't like God was saying, let's receive this offering Sunday. Mm-mm. It was only one time God says give. Some people did not yet give. Those who gave, God stirred their heart. Not to talk of today, that many things are competing with people's money. So you pray. You take authority. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to Dear Timothy Podcast. For more information, please visit www.pastormax.ng or call +234 805 888 7575. Thank you.